All right, we are ready for... Hello? We are starting with the next presentation. We have Steve to tell us about the Rust2 client library for Rust.
Hi. I feel like there's been so much Rust in this track that next year we're going to take over the Rust track. So I'm Mr. Fernandez. I'm one of the original authors of Rust2. I was a member of the core Rust1 team. Been doing open source for more than 20 years. I'm a member of the Apache Star Foundation. In a previous life, I used to do a lot of C++ with Boost. I was a committer at Boost C++ and Python Twisted and many other projects. And in 2017, I started the Rust2Rust project with the goal of adding support for Rust to Rust2 and make it official. I don't know how many Rust programmers you've met before, but a good friend of mine, Davide, said this at the previous RustCon, that we are basically the vegans of the developer community. I don't know how true this is, because my vegan friends are super friendly and chill. But Rust programmers are definitely not chill. We are not chill. We're very obnoxious. We want to rewrite everything into Rust. We want to replace C++ with Rust and everything. He's one of the best engineers I've ever met in my life. He's giving a talk at the end of the day, and it's going to be super awesome. So in this talk, I'm going to basically lay out why you should be using Rust for robotics. And then once I've sold you the idea, you're going to see how you can use Rust with Rust2. So why would we want to use Rust for robotics, right? There's C++, there's other languages. There's Go, there's TypeScript, apparently. I never thought that a robot could run JavaScript, but there you go. So it has many advantages. It's fast. Its speed is more or less comparable to C, and it's there was a news like 2 or 3 weeks ago that announced the Rust experiment in the Linux kernel is over. Like, they're removing Rust. No. It's no longer an experiment. It's now part of the Linux kernel. It's the only language besides C that's approved to be used in the kernel, in the Linux kernel. It's reliable. The compiler, it's like a very strict tutor. Like if you want to compile something and it's not going to pass, it's not going to let you compile it, but it's for your own good. So trust the compiler, trust the Rust compiler. If you are familiar with Automotive, ISO 262, all those standards, MISRA. The MISRA C guidelines is a book that you can buy, and it's like 300 pages long. I haven't done an analysis, but I would say that maybe 200 of those pages are gone if you migrate to Rust, because many of those suggestions, many of those guidelines are already built into the language. And we say a thing in the Rust community, fearless concurrency. That means that if your program compiles, you're not going to have data races. You're not going to have concurrency issues. And that opens the door to a thing, well, to several things, but one of them is Rayon. Rayon is a work-stealing library. If you've used, threading building blocks or Silk, it's basically the same principle, except that with training building blocks, you could replace your for loop with a parallel for loop and cross your fingers that maybe you're not going to have data races and maybe your program is not going to crash. With Rust, you're for sure it's gonna be safe. And if it compiles, Rayon is going to be using all the CPUs in your program, in your computer, basically for free. Just replace a for loop. It's just one of the many structures, but who plays a for loop with a parallel for loop, and it's proactive, and it's 2026, and I wonder why a language, a programming language, wouldn't have tooling. Why wouldn't it have a management system? Why is it not cross-platform? Well, we have C++. It has none of those things. But I'm not gonna be offending the C++ developers here too much. But it's not, the ecosystem is not as mature as C and C++, of course. C, the first release of C, of the C language, was in late 60s. So, of course, there's a lot of time, and all that experience shouldn't be dismissed. And the other thing is certification. If you take your software to, for example, TÜV in Munich, or you wanna, you know, you wanna certify your software, there's only certification for C, C++, and Ada. There's no such thing for Rust. But there's good news. There's a team slash company called Ferrocene Oxide, and they have a compiler called Ferrocene that's the downstream fork of the Rust compiler, and they've managed to certify it for ISO 262 and IEC and all that. And about a month or 2 months ago, they also managed to certify parts of the core library in Rust. So it's there. It's going to be, eventually, we're going to have a certified version of Rust that's going to be great for, you know, critical systems and so on. So there's like lots and lots of robots using Rust. Many, many of them use C++, and Rust has been used from, you know, academia, but also production. And I don't know why some people keep insisting that Rust is not in production when, you know, Locus Robotics has 15,000 robots in warehouses all over the world running Rust. Vexery, they've built more than 200 robots, all of them using Rust. Rust has been to space twice. NASA used it in two separate space missions. They were going to use it for a third one that was going to go to the moon. But with the change of the government, that was canceled. So I'm guessing that Trump doesn't like Rust, or I don't know. But that's unfortunate, because there was going to be a robot on the moon called Viper, and it was going to be using Rust. It broke my heart when I saw the news. So, as I said, many, many robots. So we're not going to replace all those robots with something new, because it works for them. But we can improve their situation, right? We can use Rust too, and we can use Rust, and continue using all the Rust tooling, all the you know, gazebo and all that stuff, and that's great. So I started this project in 2017, mostly because I wanted to learn Rust, and I sort of know Rust. And it was a good excuse, and then I saw, but this Rust thing is really good for robotics, and it had all the good things that I thought C++ would have after so many years. I really like the language, doesn't have inheritance, which for me is a big plus. Once you do like a big code base, inheritance is a mess. It has move semantics by default, and so on. So with Rust to Rust, what we are aiming is a complete Rostru pipeline from code generation to the client library. The entire thing is going to be Rust. So for that, for the code generation, I started the Rust IDL generator, which generates Rust code based on Rust messages. Qualcomm Decoration, Qualcomm the build tool that Rust uses, and this adds support for cargo, plain cargo projects, and what we call Rust cargo, which are cargo projects that have a bit of special Rust sauce, and a client library, RCLRS. It's entirely community driven. I've been doing open source for like more than 20 years. For me, open source and free software is first and foremost a community. And so one thing that I'm really proud of Rostru is that I sort of steered a healthy community. People from, lots of, from different affiliations. There's Kimberly here. She's the Windows tamer. I'm sorry for you. You're the one who's fixing all the Windows issues in Rostru, and we are grateful for that. We got Sam, who works at Jason & Jensen, people from Intrinsic, Gray and Luca. There's Jacob, who works for the US government. Nathan from ClearPath, and Natesh. Natesh is also from ClearPath, and so many others. So we have community, and it's great, and it's already been used. I forgot to update this, but it's already been used by OpenRMF, the fleet management software developed by Intrinsic, but also I forgot the name. There's a company in Japan that uses it for mission control for space missions. The folks from Botronics are going to give a talk about how they use Rust. So it's already being used for something that's still more or less on the path of being integrated into Rust 2. If you've been to a RustGun, you'll have seen this. This is what I call the lasagna architecture. A bunch of layers on top of each other. Basically, I'm saying that Rust 1 was spaghetti. And we can all agree on that. And this architecture, what enables us is that we focus on the user application that will be in Rust, the client library, and we have RCLCPP, RCLPy, and RCLJava. We're going to have RCLRS. But the rest, we don't really care. We don't care about the transport. We're not going to be doing anything with transport. I mean, we're not going to have to know anything about the transport, because then if you have deployed Rust 2 on a robot and use Isorix, or you use Xeno, or you use CycloneDS, or you use some custom transport that you've developed, or you bought a license for one of these certified DDS implementations, or any of that, you can still use that, and just on top of all that, you can use Rust. So in order to achieve that, for Rust we have, the problem is, how do you reconcile these two worlds? How do you marry Rust and ROS? The two ecosystems are very opinionated, for a good reason. Rust comes with cargo as the build tool and creates as a dependency system. Rust comes with Qualcomm and RustEP as a dependency system. That's where the fun begins, because how are we going to do that? Well, the build tool, sort of, we solved that, more or less. But the dependency system, that's way tricky. Way trickier. Jose has talked about the build farm, the Rust build farm, adding support for Rust projects through cargo. If you're using Pixie, which I'm a huge fan of, all that, you don't have to worry. You're not using the Rust build farm. You can use Pixie. Thank you. You can use Pixie directly because Pixie has support for Rust. And so I've actually used RCLRS with Pixie and Rust packages and worked with it. So as I said, we have the code generator. The code generator, we've released it onto the Rust build farm for all the currently supported distros, Humble, Jazzy, Kilted, and Rolling, which will become Lyrical in May. By the way, do you know why Rust is released on the 20th of May? Because it's International Turtle Day. Not kidding, look it up. And turtles are the mascot of Rust. And for Rust to Lyrical, and this is, for me, it's really, really exciting, it's going to come with the Rust generator as one of the default ones. If you download Rolling right now, you're going to see that the message packages also contain Rust. And that means that you can just use RCLRS from crates without having to download anything extra because it already comes with Rust. It's a huge achievement for Rust to Rust being added as one of the default generators and being one of the, it's the first code generator that's being developed outside the Rust team, despite me being in the Rust team. But so it's really cool. It supports every standard feature that comes with all the other generators, like MSG and IDL formats. There's no extra compile cost because with Rust, you only compile at the very end when you compile your application, but the code, the messages are not compiled, and it can be integrated into any workspace. The Rust client library, basically we build on top of RCL. The API, we try to make it as similar, as familiar as possible to RCL CPP, but we also wanted to make it idiomatic. We want to make it familiar for Rust developers, and we have some extra features that are not, could be possible in C++, but very difficult to implement, and much easier to implement in Rust, like async workers. Like, for example, in Rust 2, you have a service, and you want to make that service asynchronous. You want to make the handler asynchronous. You want it to return a feature, a future, or something, a calculation that's not immediate. With RCLCPP, that's really difficult to make it safe. With RCLRS, it's really simple. It's purely written in Rust, released on crates. It has support for all these things. We'll see later some of those features in more detail. But basically right now, basically right now, it has, I would say, the 80% of the 80-90% of the feature set that anyone would expect from a client library. As I said before, there's more code in the following slides, but I'm not going to bore you with that because no one likes looking at source code on a slide. But I'm going to show you how we are doing things differently. The approach, if you use RCLCPP, you must be familiar with the right part, but then there are things in the right part that maybe don't make much sense. Like, why does there's implicitly a global context that's created inside RCLCPP. That's usually not a good pattern. It's a code smell, and Rust makes it very difficult to have global state, which is a good thing. And so instead of that, we make it explicit. And from the context, we create an executor. And from the executor, we create a node. It's very unlikely that you're going to create a node and then add it to an executor, remove it from the executor, and add it to another executor. That's something that theoretically it's possible in C++, but it's very unsafe. So we decided, well, we should change the flow and make it safer. Right, so that's why we do it differently. We do it in this order. As I said, publishers, subscriptions, services, clients, async workers, more features. We got We got actions. We got dynamic publishers and subscribers. You can create publishers and subscribers without knowing the messages at compile time. You can create a Rustbag tool in Rust. You got parameters, timers. We support zero copy. And it's safe with Rust. It's full Rust async. We support any async framework that's in Rust. The examples we have use Tokio, but you can use Tokio, async STD, anything else. We now have someone developed support for TF2, for Transform, so basically you're done. Is that you? You're awesome. You're awesome, man. That's great. Awesome. We have the night update as well. The future. We want to release RCLRS onto the Rust build farm. As I said, work has been done. We want to support the Rust graph. The message generation story is really, really, really... No, it's a headache. It's a Python. It's a CMake project that calls a Python script that uses a Python template system to generate Rust code. I always need a painkiller after looking at it, and I wrote it, so anyway. And we want to support dynamic clients and services. There's a bunch of links here that you can check later. And if you want to say hi, feel free to send me an email. That's it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are you planning to support callback groups?
The thing is that async workers are an evolution of callback groups. So conceptually, they are very, very similar, with the addition that async workers can let you have all this in a safe way. So we basically support that with a different name.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I was using R2R, which is a different project bringing Rust to Rust. The problem I have, if I have a lot of messages, compilation times are really long because it's all in one crate. Do you think your Rust Idle RS is compatible or could be compatible with those other projects somehow? Did you look at it?
By the way, R2R, excellent project as well. The approach is a bit different. They are first and foremost a Rust project that can interact and can help you interact with Rust. We are the opposite. We're a Rust project that allows you to use Rust. It would be really cool now that we have the generator released onto the build farm and being part of the next Rust distro, collaborate with R2R so that we can define sort of like a standard of how to create Rust messages. There's another project called Rust Client, if I'm not mistaken, and it's also another Rust library for Rust, and it would be really good if we all three could find some common ground.
Thanks.
This is an online question. So somebody's asking, how good is the documentation to use Rust for first Rust 2 projects?
Is there any other more questions, or do I have to answer this? Or? We've done a bit of, I mean, for the latest release, I did a push to improve the documentation, but I wish it were better. There's not much time in the day, unfortunately only 24 hours, but yeah, the condition is sparse and can get you somewhere with the basic. We have a bunch of examples, and if you follow the documentation, you're going to get the examples running, but it's true that there's always room for improvement. Basically, I'm saying that it's not great, so.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.